It's a pleasure to be able to host our Mission Sunday today, and I hope that today finds you well. I don't know if you're anticipating a day of shoveling snow or if you're anticipating a day of NFL playoffs, but pray for the Bills today, and let's, with that out of the way, I have to get sports in there, with that out of the way, my name is Phil. I obviously love sports, am weird, and I have the honor of being in charge of and leading our student ministries, and so continue to pray for our students, and continue to pray for me. I would appreciate that. Now, hopefully this morning we have an opportunity to encourage you onto greater acts and works of love, and to inform you as to how we partner with people in our community and around the world. And I want to take a few moments to speak about this. The way that my son, I have a son and a daughter. My son is 3 years old now. And the way that my son sees himself right now is so amusing to my wife, Katie, and I. Now, as you all probably know, as soon as kids get into a vehicle, a vehicle is like a universal symbol of conflict and violence as far as kids are concerned. As soon as you get them in there, it's arguing, it's hitting, and it's the same in my vehicle as well. And my daughter knows how to push Ellis's buttons, and she'll say something that annoys him or bothers him, and he'll yell. But his response is so classic to us. He'll yell and he'll scream. Chloe will say, "Ellis, don't be so angry," or "don't be so grouchy, don't be so angry." And every time my son, with escalating force and severity, he will reply, and we love this, "I'm not angry, I'm Ellis. I'm not angry, I'm Ellis." Now, it's clear that he hasn't quite grasped that he can be both angry and remain Ellis. You see, he understands who he is, but what's not fully there is understanding the many parts that make up my son, my beautiful boy. And I want to suggest this morning that we may be living with that same kind of mindset in regard to our journey of following Jesus, our journey of faith. We might have the same crisis of identity. Now, it can be very comfortable living under the blanket term Christian, but what does that mean? I mean, it's a pretty big umbrella. It's a loaded statement to say, "I'm a Christian." What does that mean? Well, maybe you want to narrow that focus down, and you want to say, "I'm a follower of Jesus." Our mission statement and our vision is to see lives transformed by becoming devoted followers of Jesus. And so, if you put yourself in the follower of Jesus bus, we think that you're in good company because we love that too. But even still, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean? This morning, we're taking some time to highlight our missions partners, people and organizations who've we as a church help commission to be on mission. That should be our mission slogan. We commission to be on mission. Now, here's what I want to suggest to us today and remind us of. That all followers of Jesus are meant to be on mission. All followers of Jesus are meant to be missional. Now, slow down, stop, because I know what's happening. Maybe some walls are going up and a voice is speaking in your ear. And you're like, no, Phil, I'm not a missionary. I'm not going to sell all of my things and go to a place where there's no internet or no professional sports teams. No way. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a missionary. I'm just a normal follower of Jesus. I'm a normal Christian. But to think that, to disassociate the idea of mission from our relationship with Jesus is a fundamental misunderstanding of what following Jesus is. Here's what I mean. And perhaps we've fallen into the "I'm not angry, I'm Ellis" mindset. Let's take a look at how Jesus saw things we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 9. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson says this. So we're going to read it in the Message this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus is early on in his ministry. Matthew records this. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for the harvest hands. What did Jesus see as he interacted with the world? He saw a harvest. He saw a mission. He was moved to compassion when he looked around at the world around him. And then what did Jesus ask for? He asked for workers. He asked for people to be on mission. Now, maybe those walls are going up, that voice in your head saying, no, 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 Phil, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. This isn't my bag. I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at communicating my thoughts. I'm not good with people. Here's what I think is going to be a really helpful way to reframe our thoughts of what it means to be on mission in a Jesus context and to reframe it in maybe a more holistic way for us. To be on a mission, I want to suggest to you this morning, is really about examining the places that you live in, the people you exist with, the passions of your heart, the creativity of your mind, and the labor of your hands, and then align them with the other-centered love and generosity that Jesus asks of us. I'm going to say that again. To be on mission means to examine the places you exist in, the people you exist with, the passion of your heart, the creativity of your mind, the labor of your hands, and align them with the other-centered love and generosity that Jesus has asked of us. And I really believe that this concept of mission will decompartmentalize our relationship with Jesus, and it liberates us to live out God's purposes every day. Andy Stanley recently said it like this: this is a new day where you don't try to look up to figure out how to please God. You look next to you, you look in front of you, you look behind you. And even better than Andy Stanley, listen to how Jesus reframed following Jesus and living the life of Christian faith. In John 13, John records a new commandment by Jesus. And in verse 34, we read, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now remember, Jesus was confronting a hypocritical, transactional religious system where as long as you made the right sacrifices, as long as you sang the right song, as long as you observed the commandments, then it didn't really matter how you treated people. Jesus enters the scene and he ups the ante and gives his followers a new commandment to keep, reorienting us back to the idea, which is actually God's idea, that true devotion is expressed relationally. It's expressed in other-centered love. So followers of Jesus are, by design and by the communication of Jesus himself, meant to be missional, meant to be on mission, meant to be other-centered, meant to be loving and generous. Have we examined ourselves and the world around us, the resources that we have, with the same eyes that Jesus did? The places and people, the passion, the creativity, all of that aligning with the heart of Jesus. I'll invite you to make that examination even now, to see what he sees. If we really get this, if we get this idea of mission, that it's not just where you go and rerouting your life and rechanging your life, but taking stock of the things that God has already put into your sphere, the passions he's put on your heart. This is the beginning of understanding and experiencing what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. The process of transformation that we talked about earlier. And how, what are we transforming into? Transformation into what? What's the point of this transformation? Well, it's Christ-likeness. The goal of our transformation is Christ-likeness. Love others the way that I have loved you. And so here are three people we're going to highlight, not all of our missions partners. Today we're going to highlight three missions partners who represent three organizations who have for themselves made this examination of their lives, of the world around them, of the resources and passions that they have, and they begin to apply that into how they follow Jesus and aligning that with the heart of Jesus in meaningful ways. And we're proud to support them and how they are on mission for Jesus. Now, you may be wondering, why them? Why do we have specific mission partners? If we're all on a mission, if we're all missional, then why do we choose a handful of people to support? Well, a couple of reasons. One, we want to look to support people who are doing something that we ourselves as a church staff can't do. There are people who have passions that exist outside the typical ministries of church that are doing excellent work for Jesus, and we want to look for that, honor that, and support that any way we know how. And then also, we want to look for people and needs and missions that actually need more help than others, who need more resources, who their dreams and their vision for change and help is so big that they need financial support in that means. And so we're looking for people like this. And this is how we've established our missions partners. Now, here's how giving to mission works. Typically, we give around $1,400 each month. We budget $1,400. That's over $16,000 over the course of the year. And we divide it amongst our mission partners so that we can make sure that they get consistent support. And typically, this has come out of our general budget, our general, whatever comes in. But I think we'd love to see a reframing of how we support our missions partners. How can we support our mission partners while increasing the sense that we ourselves are missional? We'd actually love it if we could reframe our support, reframe our way of thinking into not just donating to our church specifically, but then donating to our missions partners specifically. Why would we want to do this? Well, we want to create this sense where we're not passive supporters. We want to actively support our missions partners. And we believe that if we set aside a specific amount, a specific generosity towards our mission partners, we think it will help train us to be more thoughtful and prayerful of what's going around in our city and what's going around in our world. And increases the sense that we are actively involved in the kingdom of God in really cool ways. And so we want to encourage you to continue to be generous and become active supporters in people's mission for Jesus. And so we're going to take a look at some of these missions partners, and we have a few videos. We're going to start by introducing Tim Schindel, who is a longtime part of our church and our community. Tim Schindel is in Ontario now, and he leads a ministry called Leading Influence, which is providing spiritual support into our government and political world. And he's doing an incredible work at being light in a dark place. Why don't we hear what he has to say and what this last year has been like for him and what they're looking ahead to.
Hi, I'm Tim Schindel with Leading Influence. I'm very excited to tell you about our work with Canada's political leaders. But let me begin with a sincere and heartfelt thank you for your partnership with us. We can't do what we do without your faithful and continuing financial and prayer support. At the end of 2019, we had full-time chaplains in Victoria, and Toronto. I was slated to start commuting to Ottawa in late January to begin our work there. I arrived in a snowstorm and needed to remember how to use a snow brush. I rediscovered that leather shoes are no match for Ontario cold and slush, and I loved every minute of it. My feet were cold and wet, but my heart was full. Ottawa was the first of many dreams we saw come to pass in 2020. We added team members in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Quebec City, and I was excited about all of them, but Quebec was a massive answer to prayer for us. Like everyone else, we were impacted by COVID. We missed seeing the people we serve face to face, but we realized that all of our people are online and so very accessible for us. Today, technology helps us reach more people in more places than we could have done through in-person meetings only. We got creative with our approach and delivery. Our Ontario chaplain set up a park office under a tree with two camping chairs set a safe distance apart. And he had a steady stream of visitors every time he did it. COVID gave us all plenty to pray about. Pray Canada became our sixth prayer network in April, and we launched Pray On, Pray Quebec on June 24th. I confess my eyes were leaking when I saw our first prayers go live in both official languages. God has been very, very good to us. Our work has helped us see the need for godly, well-prepared men and women to run for public office. We created a course to help you excel in public life. We put together an extraordinary faculty of experienced and proven leaders who speak with authority on issues of leadership, integrity, character, and public service. The course is delivered online. The workload is manageable. You'll take it with people who want to make their lives count politically, and it's affordable. We'd love to have you take a look. Visit our website, click on the Lead Well button for more information, and take advantage of the free module we've provided for you. Looking forward, we want to establish our work in Manitoba and the Maritimes in 2021, and we'd love to have you pray with us toward those goals. 2020 wasn't what we thought it would be, but we chose to embrace what God had in store for us during the storm and found better things than we had dared to imagine. We hope your experience has been the same. We'd love to have you follow us on social media. Search Leading Influence on any of the platforms and you'll find us there. Thanks again for your support and partnership. We can't do this without you. God bless you. Have an amazing 2021.
We're grateful for Tim and his team. In fact, why don't we say a prayer for them? Dear Lord, we thank you for the impact of Leading Influence, and we pray this year with Tim and their team that there be an increase in influence, that there would be light and love and Jesus in all of our provinces' political circles, that there would be a source of hope in a dark, intense place in this time. We pray that you would lift up our political leaders in your love and in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next mission partner that we're highlighting this morning is the Pregnancy Care Center. Why don't we take a look at what Maureen and her team have been up to here in our city.
The Pregnancy Care Center exists to support women and families affected by an unexpected pregnancy. We've been serving in Kamloops since 2007 and are located on the North Shore. 2020 was certainly a challenging year for everyone, but through it all, we've been able to keep our doors open and continue to serve those in need. Here at the PCC, we strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It is our hope that through our relationship with Him, we can become a source of hope for those we serve. Our center offers three unique programs. Our perinatal outreach program is a peer support program aimed at helping women and their families prepare for the birth of their child and their first year of life. Client-centered care plans are developed by our staff nurses and carried out by our volunteer client advocates. Each client in the program is paired up with one of our client advocates who guides them through their pregnancy and parenting journey. Our advocates foster supportive relationships while facilitating their prenatal education, ensuring they are able to gather all the baby supplies they need, schedule doula appointments, and coordinate community referrals for resources such as safe housing, food security, and addiction recovery. Our holistic wellness initiative is also a peer support model overseen by our certified life coach. The initiative is focused on improving the health and wellness of women and their children up to 5 years of age. Each service focuses on the following areas of wellness: physical, mental, emotional, social, intellectual, financial, and spiritual. Our moms groups provide a dynamic and interactive setting where mothers build friendships, learn life skills, and set goals for their future. Our Grow service is a one-on-one life coaching service that helps moms and dads put their dreams into action. And our perinatal loss support services offer grief support for women who have experienced a miscarriage, stillbirth, or an abortion. In the fall of 2020, we started some pretty big renovations on our second floor. Currently, our staff nurses provide free pregnancy tests and counseling to women experiencing an unexpected pregnancy. We wanted to grow this vision and provide services that would meet at-risk women sooner and with greater depth. Our new clinic will be opening in just a few months, and our services will include pregnancy tests, options counseling, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, and point-of-care ultrasounds for pregnancy confirmation. We believe these services will provide us a greater opportunity to those at risk of an unexpected pregnancy. Sexual health services will help to open up dialogue regarding healthy choices and build relationships with women who may experience an unplanned pregnancy. Adding pregnancy confirmation by point-of-care ultrasound to our current options support will empower informed decision-making. The goal of our unique programming is to support women and their families from positive pregnancy tests until kindergarten. We serve hundreds of families every year, and now we'd like to take this opportunity to have Jamie share how she has benefited from our local pregnancy care center.
I'm Jamie, and I got pregnant at 20, well, actually technically 19. And I had my beautiful baby girl, Evie, last September. I felt numb and really scared, and I sat in the shower for about an hour trying to process everything. And then I texted my adult friend, Alicia, who was a volunteer at the PCC, and she recommended that I come in and talk to someone here and just find out all the information I can to make a decision. It was very welcoming. There's no judgment on either side, whether I wanted an abortion or whether I wanted help and knowledge to continue the pregnancy. So it was very welcoming to come in and just find out all the information about what actually happens in an abortion. And then my partner was very scared as well. He was definitely pushing for an abortion out of fear of what would happen, and so I recommended that he come in and talk to a male figure here, and he did, and it totally changed his view. After we decided to continue with the pregnancy, we came back and we got a bunch of clothes from here and just a bunch of things to start, and then we also used Mamas for Mamas to receive a lot of free stuff as well. All in all, it actually only costed us $40 for everything that she needed due to the PCC. We got all her newborn and then her like 0 to 3 and her 3 to 6 month clothing from here. So it was very helpful. just to come in with an open mind and no opinions about the situation and just get all the information. It doesn't ruin your life, it enriches it. And it may change your plans a bit, but realistically it's your decision, and if you have all the information, then you're able to make an informed decision and you won't have any regrets either way. My hope is just to be safe and happy. We're planning to move back home to be around more family and to just have her grow up like I did, have her have a childhood out on the farm like I did, and just have a good, safe, happy family. Mostly just to get all the information you can and use the resources. Don't ever feel bad about using the resources. It's not, you don't have to feel bad, you know, nobody's judging you to use the resources. They're there for a reason, so.
We would like to thank Jamie for courageously sharing her story, and we would like to thank you for your prayers and financial support over the years. Together, we are bringing hope to those affected by an unexpected pregnancy. If you'd like to learn more about the center's services, how to donate, or even to volunteer, please visit our website. We love because He first loved us.
That's so awesome. Let's say a prayer for Maureen and the Pregnancy Care Center. Lord, we thank you for an organization in our city that is serving young women and young family in such a noble way. I pray that you continue to empower them to serve and love as people are navigating this uniquely difficult part of life, and that your light would continue to shine in those places. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our last missions partner that we're highlighting today is the Mustard Seed. Now, the Mustard Seed is an organization in our city that deals with and battles homelessness. Why don't we hear, because actually my boss man, Pastor Matt, sat down with the head honcho of the Mustard Seed and had an awesome conversation. Why don't we take a look at that together?
Hey everybody, welcome back. We have one of our missions partners here, the managing director of the Mustard Seed. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Kelly Thompson. I am the new managing director at the Mustard Seed Kamloops. I've dropped the interim and I'm going to be here now for the foreseeable future.
That's awesome. That's wonderful news.
It is good news. It's an exciting time to be part of the Seed. And one of the things that I really wanted to say to this family, I really appreciate that you put us in your budget for every year. You support us. I thanked you for the donation you did at Christmas time where you came, brought food and various things. And those went into hampers to help people that wouldn't have had as good a Christmas. So for the family, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, if many of you guys who are watching today will recognize Kelly. Kelly and his family have been here in Kamloops for, I guess, generations, right?
About 55 years.
Yeah, and Kelly and his family have been a part of Gateway for a really, really long time. So it was exciting. It was exciting for me, and I think probably for a lot of people to find out that that you were involved in the Mustard Seed. Mm-hmm. Not just involved, but being able to bring leadership to it during such an important time. So thank you, Kelly.
Oh, you're welcome. This is an exciting time. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. As everyone knows, with COVID going on, we're all very tired of it, myself included, but the homeless are really tired. It's very difficult for them because they come into a place that we used to be able to have 40 to 50 people in our day room that we could feed and house and minister to. Now we're allowed 20, and that's all we can have. The rest have to be outside or in another shelter elsewhere. Now, there's many agencies and partners in Kamloops, and it's great to work together with them and try and supply places where they can go and be looked after, warmed, fed, and ministered to.
Yeah, awesome. I'm just gonna back up a second here, just for those of you who are watching who maybe aren't totally sure what the Mustard Seed is. Mm-hmm. Can you give kind of an overview of the ministry of the Mustard Seed here in Kamloops?
Sure. We've got two buildings. The one building is the Outreach Center. That's probably the most famous building. That's the one on West Victoria Street. That's where we have the meal program. In that program, we provide meals for 60 people each meal for lunch and for supper. We also provide meals for a shelter on the North Shore at the moment that's housing people there as well. We have a mat program in the day room in the evenings where people can come. We have, again, 20 people that are allowed to come in. They can get a mattress, a place to be safe and warm for the winter or for the nighttime. We also, upstairs, we have our supportive housing. We have 17 men that they're going through sober recovery. It's an abstinence program. They get counseling, help with work advice, just trying to get their lives back to where they were prior to their addictions. Mm-hmm. Also in that room, maybe I'll just tell a little story about the upstairs program at
Christmas.
That'd
be awesome.
We had a young man that he's been in prison for 5 years. And this year we were able to give Christmas stockings to each one of the guys with a bunch of gifts in it. Everything from candy to a little toolkit and various things like that. And when this individual was given his stocking, he just broke down in tears because for 5 years he wasn't a part of anything like that. He forgot about that, what that feeling of being given a gift with nothing expected in return. And it was really interesting to watch as he processed that love that we gave to him. So it was really cool. And then the other place that has an equal kind of ministry is the hair salon downstairs.
Right.
It's kind of a personal touch spot where we have a hairdresser that volunteers and comes in once a week. And there's a story that one of the guys was down there getting his hair washed. And as the person's washing his hair and just talking to him, he just starts to cry. Because homeless don't get touched. They don't get to feel human touch. And so this is a special place where things like that can take place, where, you know, there's hands-on and ministry that go on that maybe nothing happens in that exact moment, but, you know, a seed is planted and then someone else comes along and can water it. You know, we're working on some things, some really exciting things around. We're hoping to look at getting a dental clinic up and running again. We're looking at getting some medical help, maybe a doctor to be able to be there to help. We currently have Interior Health. They come in and they look after a bunch of general needs on the street nurse side of things. Mm-hmm. So they do amazing work. Interior Health and all the partners and agencies that we have are awesome to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. What are some things that you're looking forward to in the future, maybe this year coming up, 2021?
This year coming up, we're really putting some structure around just some of the way we do things in general. We want to have donations and a sorting center figured out better. Our thrift store opened just last fall, so we're working on improving that. If people want, that's a great place to come and to start to volunteer and just to get a feel for what the seed is about and what you can do to help. There's amazing things that the stories you will pick up and the life that you get from it is incredible.
Yeah. What about coldest night of the year? What can you tell us a little bit about that this year?
Absolutely. Coldest night of the year is coming up. The actual date is February the 20th. This year, we're going to go online, obviously, due to COVID. However, what we are asking you to do is to come on, go onto the CNJOY website and sign up, either as an individual, part of a team, a church, whatever, challenge other churches. You know, there's lots of fun that can be done with that. But you're going to be walking on your own or with a small team. We're not going to be able to do the large event that we would love to do, but we will do it as best we can. I mean, times are changing, as we know here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're trying to do ministry the best that you can.
Exactly right. We're trying to reach and we're trying to be Jesus's hands and feet to those that need it most.
So if you're to talk to the people of Gateway, how could they potentially get involved or help in any type of way at the Mustard Seed?
Probably the easiest way is to volunteer. Whether it can be in our kitchen helping produce meals, it can be in the day center actually talking with the people a little bit. Obviously due to COVID, you have to be away a little bit. The thrift store is a great way. It's you can do the sorting, you can put stuff out on the floor, you could help run the till. There's a lot of things you can do.
Yeah.
Give us a call. We can set you up.
So they can give you a call, or what's the best way to reach out to you guys?
The best way to reach out to us is probably give us a call at 250-434-9898. That's our main office number, and we'll put you through to our volunteer coordinator.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping that we can be in greater service to you guys here at Gateway, greater involved in the future.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by. We're praying for you guys. We support you guys. We're so just thankful to have a ministry like the Mustard Seed here in Kamloops. And we just, here at Gateway, we want to get behind them as much as possible.
Awesome. And we really appreciate that. And thank you, family. I can't say thank you enough.
Awesome. Thanks for coming by, Kelly.
You're very welcome.
We are grateful for Kelly and his team. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Mustard Seed. We pray that your hand would continue to be upon their efforts, Lord. We pray that they would be able to increase their ministry and their capacity to serve, that you would send them volunteers, Lord, that they could open up their dental clinic and all the things that they need to help love and bring life to such a vulnerable community. In your name, amen. Now, as we transition into communion, as we enter a time of contemplation, celebration, confession, perhaps, how can we, as an encouragement, once again, look at our lives as followers of Jesus? How do we take the people around us, the places around us, and the resources that we have, and see life how Jesus sees it? And then live how Jesus lived it.